So I've got something I want to show you guys. We're going to turn in just a moment to Romans chapter 12. And before we do, or as you're turning there, I think I've showed you guys what I have in this little box before. It's a little box that I have in my office. And it has a very interesting item inside of it. Anybody want to take a guess?
Socks.
Oh, good. Good guess. Good guess. I've talked about my problem with socks before. I do have a right and left sock, and right now I'm missing a lot of socks. As a matter of fact, I have a whole drawer of socks that don't have a match to them, and I believe that someone in my family is taking my socks. I think they do it just to make me think I'm going crazy, and it's working. So socks, no, not socks, but all right, I can tell you guys are in a lot of suspense here. I got new glasses this week, so they look very similar to my previous glasses, and but anytime I get new glasses, I always think back to these babies right here. That's right. These were hip in 1988, y'all. I'm going to tell you, this was it. And I just keep those because in case I ever decide to get new lenses and update them and go back. When this style comes back, I'll be ready. Because I've just gotten rid of too many cool things throughout the years. If I'd only held on a little longer. They're in such style now. Oh, that's better. My eyes have changed significantly. As a matter of fact, I tried to get the 2 for $89 special, and they said, you're way beyond that. Like, that doesn't apply when you need all that you need. So, but these new glasses, I have not had glasses, my glasses replaced in, I know, this is bad, 8 years, okay? And so, but if you had asked me, I would have said, oh, it's probably been about 3 years, you know, three, maybe 4 years-ish, but it's been quite a while. When I put these things on, it just opened up a whole new world. I can actually see your faces. I can see your eyeballs. I can tell who has their eyes awake, who has their eyes open during church, and who doesn't. But I remember when I got this very first pair of glasses, I was a teenager. And as a matter of fact, my parents didn't think I really needed glasses. But I had a best friend named Bill that I sat beside, and Bill wore glasses, and they thought I just wanted to be like my friend and have glasses because those were so cool. Finally, I said, but I can't see the board. Like when the teacher writes, I can't see what's written on the board. And when I look through my friend's glasses, I can see really good. So I went and had my eyes checked, and then I can remember my dad was like, oh my word, you can't see anything. I was like, that's what I've been trying to tell you. So I was thinking about that pair of glasses. Anytime I come to this passage that we're about to read in just a moment, there's part of it that makes me think of these glasses. But Wednesday night we were here and we read from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, where the scripture tells us, Paul writes and he says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then we discuss what that would look like in our lives and in our church. And it started me thinking about being devoted. What all does the scripture tell us to be devoted to? And so one of those things is one another. And that's where I want to camp out for a few minutes today. Being devoted to the church. And the church is not a building. It's not a program. It's not a lot of activities. It's not a club. It's the body of Christ, and it's the people of God on mission for God in the world, and we're to be devoted to one another in a not just a casual way, but in a significant way, in a sincere way. And so we're going to see that in this chapter of Romans, chapter 12, as we read through. And I was joking around Wednesday night, and we came to the word devoted, and I was singing, hopelessly devoted. But I started thinking, you know, we're not hopeless. So today we're going to look at being hopefully devoted.
Amen.
Because we're to be people of hope. We're to be a voice of hope in the world. And the Lord says so much about hope. And He ties hope and our joy together. And our hope is to be in Christ. So we're going to look at some things related to being devoted to one another today and being hopeful today. And I pray that God would speak to all of us and that we would be encouraged and challenged this morning. Romans chapter 12 begins in this way, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." I'm going to pause right there for just a moment. We've talked about this passage before, especially these introductory verses, where we're urged to present ourselves as living sacrifices. So each and every day, we ought to have in the forefront of our mind serving the Lord, laying down our life. That's the image that we have here as we open up the words to Romans 12. It is an image of self-sacrifice. It is an image of serving the Lord faithfully and consistently, devoting ourselves to Him. And sometimes we are tempted to fall back into old patterns and old ways. And that's one of the things that makes me think about these glasses. Because what happens, see, we are to be transformed. We've talked about this, transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it's God's Word that renews our mind. So it's God's Word that gives us proper perspective. When I go to get my glasses, one of the phrases that I recall hearing is this, corrective lenses. You heard that phrase before if you've been to the eye doctor? And it's so annoying when they say, okay, now tell me which is better, one or two. If you've never had to get glasses or contacts, you may not understand this. But when they go to dial it in, they're like, what's better, one or two? One or two. Okay, now two or three? Three or two? Three or one? One or four? I'm like, for all I know, these are all the same. Because I'm just straining and I'm squinting and I'm like, Doc, just pick one for me. I don't know. What do you think I need? I can't read anything. Any of these are better than what I have without, okay? But sometimes when we fall out of having our daily walk with God and when we get our eyes on ourselves and when we fall out of those daily disciplines, then you know what? To me, it's kind of like laying aside that perspective and going back to the old, which is not near as good. Although some of you look a lot better with these on because it just kind of still a little blurry, you know. But if I were to walk around wearing these, you would notice. And that's what happens in our life. Sometimes we go back to our old way of thinking, our old attitudes. And, you know, we sometimes think we're covering it up and we're hiding it, but people around us, it's obvious. It's obvious when we're reflecting Jesus in our home and in our workplace and in our community. It's obvious when our countenance is reflecting Jesus because we've been with Him. We've been in the Word. We've been in prayer. We've been meditating and reflecting on God's Word and on His will for our lives. Christ radiates. And then when we fall away from those daily disciplines, you're still a believer. you're still saved by God's grace, but you're not fellowshipping with Him and you're not walking with Him. And it begins to show. It shows in our relationships. And I'm no different than you. And I lack consistency in my own life. And my life is full of ups and downs and twists and turns. And there are times when I'm walking closer with the Lord than others. Those times when I get busy and when I fail to really sit down and have that self-leadership, that self-discipline, then you know what? Day by day, I'm not allowing God to renew my mind. I'm not allowing God to bring me into proper perspective and to be in tune with His Word. And I start what? Doing what is right in my own eyes. I start acting out of my own abilities, my own personality, my own gifting, it's all about me. And so I just want to encourage you with that today. It is the Word of God that's got to be primary as we walk with Him. And as you're in the Word of God each and every day, then He will speak to you and He will guide you and He will direct you. And your eyes will be open to His goodness and His faithfulness. And so, you know, we have to commit ourselves to that daily. Because listen, just coming on Sunday morning and just being here one day a week, that's not God's intent. God wants us walking with Him daily. And having a shower once a week is not good enough. Okay? Same way, coming to worship once a week is not good enough. It should be our daily pattern. So that's what he's starting out. Romans 12, 1 and 2, excuse me, then verse 3, he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage, give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So let's pause right there for a moment. We're just going to take three sections of this chapter and just look at some insights of each one of those sections. This section has several if-then statements. You know, I was a math major in college, and so we did a lot of if-then statements. And so it's basically saying for us that, you know, we're like a body, the body of Christ. He's joined us together. And just like the body's made up of different parts, different members, so the church is made up of different people with different personalities, different abilities, different perspectives. And so he says, do not, go back to verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I believe that's a problem we have in the world today. Many of us think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And we think that the world revolves around us. And when we're not happy, nobody around us deserves to be happy. I even fall into that. Or we think, you know, well, if I weren't doing this, everything would just fall apart if it weren't for me. And we don't even really consciously take this attitude on. But maybe it's a subconscious thing. Maybe it's a subtle thing where the reality is we think everything rises and falls on us. I'm going to tell you, pastors are tempted with this. It's a big temptation because you're put in a position of high responsibility. And there are a lot of things that you're responsible for. And so if you're not careful, you begin to think it's all about you. And really, it's not. I mean, God, I'm no more significant than anybody else in this room. I just happen to have the gift of gab. You know, I've said before, I'm not necessarily the smartest person in here. There's people in this church far more bright than I am. I may not be the most friendly person. I may not be the most organized. We know I'm not the most organized. Now, I may be the best looking. No, I'm just kidding. We all have our strengths and we all have our weaknesses. And I have more weaknesses than I have strengths. But I'm grateful because he said that his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. And so as long as I'm dependent on the Lord and humbling myself before him, then I believe that he's going to use me as he sees fit. Amen. But so often I face a temptation, you know. Oh boy, that was a good message there. Oh, that was good. I really stuck it to Mickey today. Oh, that was great. I just really brought it today. You know what? When I start thinking that way, then boy, that's a you're on thin ice then. And we can all begin to fall into that. Boy, I just did such a great job. Man, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and recognize that anything we have is a gift from him. And God's really taught me that. There are some times when I really thought I had a great sermon and it just seemed to fall flat. There are other times when I thought, oh Lord, this is a train wreck. This was a horrible disaster. They didn't even laugh at my jokes and I know they were good. When I was a kid one time, that's how I gauged the sermons. Our pastor one day, I remember going home literally and telling my mom, Mom, I can't believe nobody joined the church today. I probably was like 11. She's like, what? And I said, oh man, Pastor Reuben, he was on fire. I mean, he told the funniest jokes I've ever heard. I mean, that's how I gauged. So anyway, I digress. I don't even know what I'm saying. Train wreck. It's what we're having right now. Some days I think, boy, that was a train wreck. And then I find out later that God really used that moment to change somebody's life. Amen. I remember when I was a youth pastor, I had this guy come to do special music for us one night. And man, it was a disaster. This guy was horrible. It was so bad. I'm not a musician, but I know bad music when I hear it. And he just kept singing like he was making it up as he went along, which he would say, I'm sure, you know, it was a spirit leading. And I'm like, that's not the spirit. I don't know what it was, but it was rough. And he was supposed to sing for like 15 minutes and he sang instead for like 45. You know, and so as the person in charge of the event, I'm just thinking, oh, this is just so terrible, you know. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? It was just, I can't tell you how bad it really was. But I got a phone call that later that night. Because it had really cut into my message time is really what had irritated me too. And I was like, how are these kids going to know if I'm not up there preaching the word to them? You know, so I had to condense the sermon really short at the event. But I got a call from a family and they said, you know, our son came to us and he talked to us about how wonderful the service was tonight and what God's doing in his life. And this is what he said. And I just was like, well, praise God. You know, sometimes he just has to get me out of the way so he can do what only he can do. And that's what happened that night. And I was just reminded that there are times when we look at what we think and it's not always in alignment with what God is doing. And so we've got to be in the Word, allowing Him to renew our mind day by day. And then He says, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. It's one of the things I really admire about people that serve here in our church. You see a genuine sense of humility. And so many churches are full of people that just think they know everything. And there's such a spirit of pride that can take hold. But we have people that are truly love the Lord and demonstrate humility as they serve Him faithfully. And I'm so grateful for our deacons, for our other leaders, our trustees, and everybody who's taken on responsibility, that they serve with humility. And so he says, you know, exercise your gift. Last week we talked about people that have a lot of trauma from church experience. And so there are some people that are on the sidelines right now. And maybe this is you, or maybe it's somebody that you know and love, but the reality is God's given us a word here, and that word is that He's gifted you, and you ought to be using that gift to serve Him. And the context in which we do that is in the church body. So this is the context of this passage. And yeah, you can be doing a lot of great things in the classroom or in the attorney's office or in the bank or in the bakery or anywhere and everywhere we're serving the Lord. But he's talking in the context of the church here, building up the church. And he says, he's gifted you. So if you're gifted in these ways, this is how that should look. This is how you ought to serve him. And in our society, our community is full of people who are believers. They love Jesus. They're born again. But they've detached themselves from the church, and they're not serving Him. And you know what? They're missing out on the blessings that follow. And so we talked about that last week, about how do we approach this idea of, you know, when people are, they're burnt out, they're tired, they've disconnected from the church. And we looked at 1 Kings 19 about Elijah. And about bringing refreshment to people and helping to nourish people and helping people to redirect their life. But that's what this is right here. It's about God's calling in our life and God's gifting in order to serve the church and to serve Him. It's funny because I had a friend here last week that visited with us, and he's not been in church, and he's been telling me a few weeks he needs to be. And so I said, God's giving you an extra hour so you can sleep and then show up at church. And then I know he's like, man, you're preaching at me today. And afterwards, I said, hey, that wasn't just targeted at you, but it applies. You needed to hear it, as do many other people. And listen, this is an encouragement, but it's also a warning that when we withdraw, and when we're not serving God, the body is suffering. The church is suffering. But so are we, because we're not really fulfilling God's gifting in our life and God's purpose in our life. He says, if your gift is prophesying. Now, the word prophesying here is really rightly applying the word of truth. So that's how we would define that. Taking God's word and applying it to your life or to certain modern situations and current contexts. So that's the sense of prophesying. It's not foretelling the future. It's not foretelling. It's forthtelling. It's seeing what God has written and what God has revealed and applying that to your life or the life of others. And some people have that gift. They can look and they can see how God's word affects a situation. And you know what? You need people like that in your life. You need people who are willing to tell you, well, this is what, you know, I know you're trying to gray that, you're trying to make this a gray issue, but really it's black and white. This is really what the Bible says. I mean, we need people like that in our churches and in our lives who will tell us, This is what the Lord, thus saith the Lord. This is what He has revealed to us in His word. And so He says, you know, have the faith to speak boldly and to speak the truth into situations. If it's serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. If it is encouraged, then give encouragement. I wonder how many of us are withholding encouragement from the church. How many of us need encouragement? Anybody need encouragement? Like on the daily, right? Well, I wonder if there's people in our church that have a ministry of encouragement and they're not really encouraging as they could be. I met a little lady in the first church that I served in seminary, and she gave us a little pen with a Bible verse on it. It was a little ink pen. And I've never forgotten her. Nelva Ewing. Miss Nelva gave me that ink pen, and it meant the world to me. And she said, I just decided one day there's enough negativity, and I just wanted to be more encouraging. So I started giving out these little trinkets, ink pens, and other things just to brighten people's day. And that has really stuck with me. You know, all these years later, I remember not so much the pen, but her countenance and her posture of encouragement, that she was being intentional. So what could you and I do to be more encouraging to others? If it's giving, then give generously. We tend to lose sight of being a giver. Giving of our time, giving of our resources, giving to support the church and giving to help other people. And so we're all called to give, but some people have the extraordinary, extra capacity to give even greater. And so if God's calling you to give of yourself, don't hold back. Give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. Mindful that as you lead, you're stewarding God's resources and you want to lead in such a way that's honorable. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, this one hits home. I did done a lot of, you know, spiritual gift assessments and thinking and just reflecting and asking the Lord to show me, you know, who He's made me to be. If you've ever taken some of these spiritual gift inventories, it's like a little personality test, you know, it's like if you were in this situation, what would you do and all that? I score off the charts in mercy. And I've always just really not liked that. Because sometimes I find myself like just getting taken in. I'll have to share with y'all about going to the Bartow County Fair one day. When this guy, he was so nice. And he liked the same things I liked. And he had this booth where we could throw darts and we could win. And I was going to win a TV, y'all. And I just kept putting out money after money, dollar after dollar for another chance to win that TV, and I was almost there. But I'm just, because of that gift of mercy, I can sometimes be a little gullible. I know it's hard to believe, right? But also, I look at last week, and we said where Elijah had called fire down from heaven. Then suddenly he's like, oh, Jezebel's going to kill me. He's scared to death and he's depressed. And so, you know, the reality is he didn't want God to forgive the people. We talked about Jonah, didn't want God to forgive the people. Okay? And so this idea, this merciful position, this what God's done by making me merciful has made me soft. And sometimes it's just like I get taken advantage of because I'm just trusting of people. And sometimes I just want to be more forceful, y'all. I'll be more, well, it's enough of that. Sometimes, you know, though, I'll have a situation and I'll think, man, I'd really like to let this person have it. I just can't do it. It's just not in me. Even when I try to be mean, just can't. Makes me think of Sarah when she was playing sports and they'd say, okay, give me your game face. We're going to do this banner for the team. Give me your game face. Sarah's like, and I'm like, she just doesn't have it in her. You know, it's like, come on, give me that mean face. And it's like, no, that's not really what we're talking about. You look sad more than you look mean. And it's that heart of mercy. And so it's interesting. Sometimes I've been resentful. It's like, Lord, why'd you make me this way? Why did you wire me this way? I just really need to be a little more stern. It's interesting. He says, if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do it cheerfully. Not begrudgingly. Not like, oh, Lord, I think it was Michael the other night. We were talking about, just loving people and doing it from the heart. And that, you know, so many times we do things out of duty because they're the right thing to do, or it's good manners, but we're not doing it out of sincerity. And so that's part of what he's getting at here. He says, don't think too highly of yourselves, but serve the body. Now, we're going to wrap up with just a quick read through of these final verses. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. So there's the devotion. Wednesday night, we talked about devoting ourselves to prayer. Here he says, be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So here we're going to see a series of things that we are to do and then a few things sprinkled in that we're not to do. So take note of each of these. And let's not confuse the two. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. So listen, next week, we're going to come back to this passage, Romans 12, picking up with verses 9 through 21. In preparation this week, I want you to read Romans 12. Just read it daily and see how the Lord speaks to you about your relationship with others. And he says here, as I just mentioned, love must be sincere. So let's ask ourselves, am I loving others with sincerity? Am I going out of my way to serve others? And when you do, listen, you're building up the church. You're building up the body. The body is benefiting from you and your presence and the work that you do and the service that you render. But also, as the body's growing, you're receiving blessings. Blessing upon blessing by serving God as you serve Him. So right now, we're going to stop right here at verse 8. If it's serving, serve. If teaching, teach. If it's encouraged, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. To lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Next week, we'll talk about dumping burning coals on someone's head. So we're going to look at what that really means and how that applies to our lives today. So don't rush out and do that until I've really had time to speak to it, okay? So let's wait. Let's hold off on practicing that this week. But I want to encourage you today, because the church is growing. The church is being built up. And you're part of that. And each and every person plays a vital role, no matter what your gift is, no matter what your ability is. But whatever your ability is, let's not get so conceited that we forget that we're serving Him, that He is Lord. Amen. There is a God, I'm not Him. There's a God, you're not Him. Sometimes we live like everything revolves around us. But we're here to just serve Him faithfully. And I want to tell you, it's interesting. He outlines these different things. And some of them, we may often be tempted to think they're not significant. He mentions encouragement here. You may think, well, I don't do that much. I don't have that much to offer. I can't sing, or I can't preach, or I can't teach, or I can't do. You know, the gift of encouragement. We live in times where people are lonely, they're struggling, they need to be reminded of God's goodness in their life. And those of you that have that gift of encouragement, you're like you brighten people's day. And if you have a gift of mercy, you know, mercy is just withholding God's judgment, right? Like God, He is merciful by withholding what we rightfully deserve. Grace is Him giving us unmerited favor. Mercy is Him withholding His wrath. And so you may have that gift of mercy like me. Well, you know, the world needs some mercy. And God can use you in this body, in this church, to bring hope and to bring healing into people's lives. So whatever it is, let's all commit that we're going to do our part, that we're going to play our role. And if it's to serve, we'll serve. If it's to teach, we'll teach. And let's get off the sidelines. If you're on the side, feel like you're on the sidelines, if you feel like God's calling you deeper in your service to Him, get off the sidelines and get in the game. That's where the action is. And if you're serving Him in this church, then I want you to press on. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. The best is yet to come. We have exciting days ahead. We're going to have difficulties and challenges, but there's joy in serving the Lord. And look, the song this morning, man, that was great, Beth. Thank you. We have got some songs coming up, and one of the things that Beth has done, she's chosen some songs that have old school hymns and modern worship blended together in the songs. And like this morning, I mean, did you pick up on a little bit of hymnology there? A little bit of God's blessed assurance? And man, so I'm excited. I hope you're excited too. So let's pray. Julian, I know, is excited. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this day. God, thank You for Your goodness to us. God, You are worthy of our praise. God, You have gifted people in this congregation to serve You in different ways, different capacities, different gifts, different skills. And so, God, we just bring all that to You because You are worthy. God, we're not serving ourselves. And God, when we're serving one another and loving one another sincerely, God, that is intended to be an act of worship. We do that with recognition that each and every person is created in the image of God. And Lord, that those who are part of this church and part of the church at large have been redeemed. They're part of Your body. So when we care for one another, we're doing that as an act of worship to You. And so God, help, give us a great love for Your church. Give us a great love for You and for a lost and dying world that needs to hear the gospel. God, thank You for the church home that we have here at Ball Ground First Baptist. And thank You for all the many people that You've brought throughout generation after generation who served You faithfully. God, let us play our part in that, leaving that lasting legacy for those who come and follow in our footsteps. And God, I pray You'd help us to serve You more wholeheartedly each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.